The title of my message today is Get in the Game. Say it with me one more time. Get in the Game. The series that we're going to be entering into right now is a brand new series. It's called Games People Play. And today we're kicking off our capital campaign. And again, if you're visiting with us today, I just hope that you'll realize this is a two-year journey we've been on so far. And this is sort of the kickoff today for our capital campaign. And hope that you'll just sit in here with us and just enjoy. But a little bit different message than I'm used to doing today. But I want to share it with you. Get in the game. This is, of course, the stadium for the Cincinnati Reds. Roger from Ohio, he just couldn't resist himself, you know, right there. Putting a red stadium. But I told him that's really Lemon Bay back there, not the Ohio River. And he took the Cincinnati Reds thing off the corner and he put Fellowship Church in it. Amen? So get in the game. That's what we're going to talk about today. And let's look at a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to wait on him there. Plan to get a hit. Plan to get a hit. If you're going to get in the game, you got to plan to hit the ball. If you don't have that plan in your head and in your mind that I can be involved in this program, in this project, and I can get on base, you'll never get on base. I coached for many years and loved it. But I tell you what, an attitude that says, well, I can't hit, he's pitching too fast. I can't. Listen, we ain't never going to win, boy. You know, it just bothers me. When we go into a game, I'm not unrealistic when I coach, that if they're a great team, they beat everybody in the United States, that we're going to beat them. I mean, I'm not necessarily, but you know what? I still go to that game thinking, we just might. We just might. I don't show up, you know, tail between my leg, and you know, tuck down, we're going to lose. No, sir. You know, so if you're going to get in the game, you got a plan to get a hit. Say it with me. If you don't shoot for something, you'll never what? Hit anything. And so guess what? We're shooting, baby. And I told Paul, we've hit it off pretty well, I think. But I told him, I said, we need to do this building on a budget. Okay? And I'm willing to work hard and you know, pinch every penny we can. And I think we've sort of tried to show forth that these first couple of years. And that's what he did. I mean, even though it's a really nice auditorium, you see it's a rectangular shape. And it didn't have all these fancy this, that, and the other, and all this kind of stuff where money just goes out the window. We want to make it functional, but also nice, but we really want to have a building where we can worship Jesus Christ and reach people. Amen? That's what it's all about. And so that's what we're trying to do. So we need to get in the game, plan to get a hit, and we're shooting for something. So we got four areas, four levels, and these are just something I put together. We didn't get a slick gimmick plan or something like that to present to you today. I just want to throw it on you, and we're going to lay it on the Lord, and let's see what happens. First of all, we've got weekly commitments. You'll notice on that card we gave you, we put a place down there, you know, I pledge to give so much a week. A week. Right now, we're taking up 12 offerings a year. We're taking up one a month. We're functioning on three offerings a month for our ministry and giving one to the future. Well, I'll be 90 years old if we keep just doing that. Do you understand? But you know how it is. If you put a little away, some of y'all have done this. You put a little away all the time, don't you? Put a little away, little away, little away. And before you know it, man, look, we done got some money now. You see what I mean? That's what we're going to do. Weekly commitments. We need everybody that's on the team that's going to get in the game to make a weekly commitment. I call it singles. Singles. We need some hit the ball. Hit the ball, baby. Boom! Some people hit it over short. Some people put it in the gap. Some people lay down a bunt. You know, some people are called on to sacrifice bunt, aren't they, Mike? Amen? For the team. We need everybody to get on base. Everyone gets on base. And we're going to talk about it today in the message. We're just laying the groundwork right now. Everybody gets on base and gets in the game. So that's our singles. Our number two prong of this capital campaign is fellowship commitments. Now that is fellowship church. Our commitment as a church has been one offering a month, every month. Well, we're going to now go to this level right here. We're going to go with the 20-360 plan. Instead of 12 offerings a year, we're going to now go to 20 offerings a year. 20 offerings a year. There's 52 weeks in a year. Y'all with me? Y'all awake? Say, y'all okay? Okay, 52 weeks in a year. We've been giving 12, which meant 40 went to run the ministry, correct? Now we're going to up that to 20 offerings a year, and we're going to run the ministry on 32 offerings a year. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take sacrifice and commitment, but we can get it done. So this is the number two commitment. We call this our double Let's hit us a double. Boom! Now listen, that's exciting. You know what we've done? We've done that this whole time along, and we have raised the money to pay for the land. We now have $96,000 in the bank today. We're not starting at zero today, friend. We're starting at $96,000, almost $100,000 to get started with to kick off our program. And that's just for you people that are unbelievers. I mean, not unbelievers in Christ, but non-believers that we can get this done. If you think there's anything in Clark that thinks we can't get it done, you're crazy. I'm a believer. I wouldn't stand up here today whistling Dixie or trying to blow smoke if I didn't think we could get this done. We can, but this is going to be exciting. Let me tell you what we're starting today. Today is the first Sunday in November. We're going to do the first Sunday, the second Sunday, the third Sunday, and the fourth Sunday. So we're going to get four of them right out of the way of the 20. We're going to take four. Does that make sense with you? I'm talking English, plain English. We're going to do four of them. That's going to be our blast off. Amen? How can we do that? Because we've been putting back a little. We've been putting back a little in our budget so that we could run for a month and a half or 2 months. Salaries, rentals, all the things that we need to do. All the bills can be paid so that we can give those first four offerings away as we start off on our quest. So that's the 2360 plan. We are moving the runner into scoring position. All right? Now, we got us some singles. What are singles? Say it with me. Weekly commitments. One more time. What are singles? Weekly commitments. What are doubles? Fellowship church commitments. That's those offerings. Not 12 anymore, right? It's moving now for the next 3 years to how many? 20. 20 offerings. Number three, special gifts. Special gifts. What are special gifts? There are many of you, including me, at times, we're going to want to just give a special gift. We're going to want to give over and above. We're going to have our socks blessed off. God just does something in our life. Or we look over how good He's been to us and we go, you know what? God's a great God. I want to take some of this that you've given me, Lord, and I want to give this to this capital campaign and get that building built for Your glory, Your honor. And we call that special gifts. And that's going to happen. I believe it. These are triples. Let's knock us a triple. Boom, we go knock it in the corner down the left. Boom, boom, boom. And then go, boom, we're rolling. That's our triples. See that? So number one, weekly commitments. Number two, fellowship church commitment. Instead of taking 52 offerings and just using them and spend them on whatever we want to spend it on, go scale it back to 32, run a tight ship, and put 20 towards the future. Triples is those special gifts, times when someone is moved to give a special gift. And some of you are going to be moved to do that today, next week, the following week. You're going to just, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart, and you just go, man, I want to do that. That's fantastic. We're able. Bless God. Number four, quite frankly, friend, singles, doubles, triples, we still couldn't get this building built, in my view, in a timely manner without this number four. This is what we really need. We need supernatural gifts. We need what we call the old homers and grand slams. And you know who does that? God does that. I can't do it. You can't do it. I just can't do it. I just want to find myself, because we've hit the single, because we've hit the double, because we've been hitting them triples, I want God just to shine down and show His favor on Fellowship Church and say, I see what you're doing, and I'm going to pour out that supernatural gift on you. Here and there, and they're going to come, and I'm going to give that to you as a ministry. We're going to see this done. So that's our homers and grand slams. Let's see if we can't knock that ball. Woo! Did you see that? Come on, Raj. This is fun, ain't it, baby? Come on. Boom! All the runners are in. Can we do that one more time? Boom! Out of the park, baby! And everybody gets home. Folks, I love Lemon Bay High School. I love the staff of Lemon Bay High School. They've been a blessing to me. They're my friends. And I value the friendship that I have with the leadership here at this school. And I admire them. But I tell you what, this ain't home. It feels good. You know how it felt when you rented and you rented and you rented and you finally got your first home? Does that feel good? Say. How many? Just praise the Lord if you praise God for giving you a home. Can I do that? Come on. Praise God. That felt so nice. You know? You could finally work in the yard and plant your little plant if you wanted to, or paint something a color and not have to ask the landlord. It felt good, didn't it? If some of you hadn't got there yet, you'll get there if you work hard. Put God first in your life. I believe you'll get home ownership. But listen, as Fellowship Church, we won't get home. Amen? I can already see it. I go down to the property lot. How many have ever seen me at the property? Just my pickup truck. Can I see your hand? You saw me down there sometimes. I was out there on the yard. I go down there. And I walk. And I can feel it. I can feel home. I feel this is good. God will need to build me a place. I'll build him a place where we can worship him, we can praise him, and we can change a whole community for Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a thrill. What is more important than that? I don't see anything more important than that. And we found out recently in this election that, without getting political, you know that moral values and things like that really do matter.
Yes.
And faith matters. You know what I mean? Praise God. And that's what we want to be about. We want to be a light, a shining light in that community. And it's exciting. And we want to get everybody home. These are out-of-the-park miracles. In case you say, well, I had a rough life. I've never seen a miracle. I want to just show you a few miracles, can I? I want to show you a few miracles. We want to find that old sweet spot on that bat. See? We hit those singles, we hit those doubles, and we hit those triples. But that sweet spot is God showing up. God showing up. And you know what? If God shows up, he's going to get it done. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm a believer today. I don't need to spin things or this, that, or the other. I just need to be honest and sincere and lay it out. And if he shows up and we put our best effort forward and we're sincere and honest before him, boom, we're going to hit that sweet spot on that bat and the supernatural gifts are going to fall. We want God's favor. Can you say that with me? Say it to the Lord. We want God's favor. Come on, tell him. Come on, one more time. We want God's favor. We can't do it without you, Lord. We want your favor. And he's been giving us his favor. Let me show you a few examples. Right here, miracles at Fellowship. You want to know a miracle? Look around you. Look at this facility you sit in today. This is a miracle. Let's praise him for it today. For giving us this auditorium to worship him in. How many were with us in the get-go when we started Fellowship Church? And you know that at those meetings, I couldn't tell you where we were meeting, could I? Could I tell you yes or no? Wasn't it almost that final week before we found out where we were meeting? Is that true? And though John Brandenburger and I, we had gone through a process, but we didn't even really know for sure, did we, Ann? It was a miracle of God that we were able to have this place and meet. Other miracles. How about this summer? We went before the county commissioners and the zoning, and the zoning board was, the zoning people were against us. They didn't want to give us this road. They didn't want to give us that road right in the middle of our property. I went to that hearing that day and had to stand there and watch the staff say, we don't want to give that to Fellowship Church. And there the board, this board sat right there. And I heard these people say, we don't want to give that to these people. And I'm sitting there and part of me is getting madder than a hornet, okay? But I'm nice and trying to grin like Mama taught me, you know? But you know what? And a lady on that board said, I agree with the staff. We shouldn't give it to Fellowship Church. And she looked at me and said, Pastor, no offense to you. And I did this number. And you know what? That old board, she laid that old vote out there. They got a vote on it now. Got a motion. We got a second. Quiet as a church mouse. There was no second. And the motion died. And somebody on the other end piped up and said, you know what? I think we ought to give it to Fellowship. And somebody immediately said, I do too. And we won 3-1. Amen? Amen? To get that piece of property right there. That's a blessing. That's a miracle. 1.2, 1.3 acres in Rotunda commercial property doesn't come cheap, friend. Okay? And that would have split our yard in two. We'd have had 4 here and 7 here and a road running right down the middle. But now we don't have a road running down the middle. We will make that sort of a roadway, but it'd be our road. And it can go like we want it to go. And we don't have to worry about the setbacks and everything running right out. So that's a miracle. Here's another miracle. Y'all with me so far? Different kind of message, but I'm enjoying myself. Here we go. Miracles at Fellowship. How many have been to our new offices? Can I see your hand? Okay. Let me tell you something. Guy called Alex on the phone. Dear man. And he said he wanted to be a help and a blessing to us. And boy, it didn't take me long to get over there and meet him. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a help to you. I want to be a blessing to you. And help you with these offices till you get your building built. So there we sit. Look at that. Volunteers came in and painted and cleaned and worked. And I'll tell you right now, when you come to Fellowship offices, I'm proud to have you. Because they look sharper than a tack. And this is something to the glory of God. And it's free. You know, isn't that a pretty good deal for $1 USA? Amen? I like that deal. Praise God. Miracle. I'm talking about supernatural gifts from God and showing favor to us. I just want you to be a believer. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. We must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those, here's the word, that diligently seek Him. That's that get in the game bunch. Amen? That diligently seek Him. We must believe. Another miracle. Look at this. The land. Can you say that? Our, come on now, our land paid for. Come on, boy, that sounds pretty. One more time. Our land paid for doodah. Amen? That's a great little song. Isn't that great? And again, a dear man, a friend of mine, John Brandenburg and I, we were on a little quest together. And I said I wanted to meet with the fellow that owned it. And John said, why do you want to meet with him for? I said, the Lord laid on my heart. John just got to. And lo and behold, we went and met. And this fellow's just, you know, got so much to do and so much property and everything. But long story short, we were able to get this land, 11 acres, for $200,000. Now, I didn't say 11 lots, folks. Even that'd be a good deal, wouldn't you think? In Englewood right now, buying 11 lots, little old lots. We're talking about 12 acres, 11 plus acres of commercial land. And if the truth be known, we were going that day, and regardless, we were going to probably end up paying about $600,000. We were going to actually think that was a great deal, and it was. But just the Holy Spirit and God showing up, that's what we're talking about, supernatural gifts. He said, how's $200,000 sound? And buddy, you about had to pick old Clark up off the floor. You know, I said, boy, that sounds really good. You know, amen. Praise God. But it's God. God. That's a miracle. Now, moving forward, and I know I'm taking a little too much time. Please help me here. Last year also, as we were fixing to try to get that land paid for, out of the blue, someone calls us with a $40,000 challenge and says, we came to your church service, and God spoke to our heart and moved in our heart, and we know you have about 80 or so left, and we'd like to make half of that ourselves and challenge your people dollar for dollar. And so it was matched by you people, and we were able to pay for the land. So let's praise the Lord for that. Amen? That's another miracle. Praise God. Also, all the technological things that you see here at Fellowship Church, we don't have a credit card with Circuit City, okay? When we get something, it's paid for. And we don't buy it if we can't. That's the way we do it. And a lot of you run your life like that. And that's how I've been able to run my life. And I've been blessed. I've been blessed in a lot of ways, materially. But I still think if you work hard and you don't waste, I think you can do things in life. I still believe that way. But everything we have, all the things that you see at Fellowship Church are paid for already that we have. And we just praise. That's a miracle as far as I'm concerned. Start a new church, have all this kind of neat stuff. It's phenomenal. How about this one? As we kick off this campaign today, we don't kick it off with a big zero, friend. We kick it off with all these miracles, and we kick it off with $97,000 in the bank for this project. So we don't start at zero. How many praise God that we didn't have to start at zero today? Amen? Boom. I like that. All miracles. And so if you're one of those people who say, well, I've never seen a miracle, I think you just saw about a half a dozen today. So here we are. Now, what's the last part of my talk with you about this morning? I'm going to take about 15 minutes. We haven't taken the offering yet. We're going to do that a little bit later because I wanted to sort of lay out the vision. And you could see what Paul was going to show. And you could try to get a feel. And I want you to be committed and be able to get in the game with us. But I want to just share three things with you, my message this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn into them, and I'll also use the big screen with the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. What is getting the game? And I don't care whether it's this building fund or it's marriage or it's your job. These are some vital principles that are going to help your life right from the Word of God. Attitude. Can you say that with me? Say it with me. Attitude. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. You sow one seed, friend, don't expect to have a whole row of corn. Amen? You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It just doesn't happen. You've got to want to. As you purpose in your heart. So let him give. Now look at this. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Attitude. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's that supernatural gift thing we're talking about. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, number one today, attitude. Attitude. If we're going to get this building built, if we're going to get in the game, now hang in here with me. Now pinch somebody if they're sleeping on you. Come on. Here we go. Attitude. Cheerful. That should be our attitude. I hope you see me today as not, boy, that poor old pastor, he's so depressed, he don't ever think he can get that building built. Happy, cheerful. That should be our attitude. Say that with me. I'm glad to give. I'm glad to give. How about this one? Help me here. I'm happy to participate. That's how I feel. I'm glad to give. I'm happy to participate. But guess what? It's not that way with everybody, amen? But if we're going to get this job done, say it with me. No whining. Look at that. No whining. Listen, here's what they say. Here's what I got the uniform on today. I don't get to play. I've coached, like I said, many years. Different sports, mainly ball. Put that back up there. Back that other way. I don't get to play. If I'm ever the coach of a team, and you come up whining, saying, I don't get to play. I'm going to go, you sure don't. whining don't win ball games. Playing wins ball games. Amen? Getting in the game, getting your act together. Listen, we need to have a cheerful attitude, happy attitude. Come on, man. Not whining. Teams don't win with bad attitudes. You know what happens to players on professional teams who have bad attitudes? They get traded. A lot of players you can think of in the NFL or in baseball that were a problem on the team, and they're no longer on that team. And many times when they leave that team rises to a higher level. And so we need a great attitude. God is not going to bless a bunch of whiners at Fellowship Church. He will not bless that. He's going to bless people that think, praise God, amen, we can get it done. Great attitudes. Number two, outlook. Look at these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-26. Know ye not that they which run in a race run on, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate. He's controlled, under control in all things. Now they do it to win a corruptible crown. But we do it, what we're doing is for an incorruptible crown, for rewards in heaven. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. Okay? Look at these verses. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see the difference? Boy, that's some serious outlook. How about say this one with me? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's not a bad attitude, is it? Isn't that great? Outlook. Our outlook. Look, it should be positive. I mean, we set on an opportunity to build a facility, not so we can say, look at our facility, so that we can build a facility that can change our community. We can reach people. You can reach folk like my drunk mama and This old hell-raising teenager was reached. And you know, these people can go on and change people's lives. It's phenomenal. We can strengthen marriages and homes and reach out to young'uns and older folks. There's amazing things that we can do. Be positive. Be hopeful on this project. Say this with me. Come on, Southern style. We can get her done. One more time. We can get her done. Listen. We can do it, man. Please don't come up to me and go, "Pastor, I don't think we can do it." Come up to me and say, "We can get her done, preacher. We can get her done, man. I believe." That's the way we ought to be. Good grief, I couldn't stand being on a team when the whole attitude of the team was, "That last week they beat that other team 9-0 and we gonna get killed." Why are we going then? We might win, and the way I look at it, boy, when you got a hurdle or an opposition that's going to beat your brains out, the chance is that if you beat them, you sure going to get good press. Amen? That old sorry team beat that team. And it's a good way to look at it. Outlook. Number one was attitude, no whining. Number two, outlook, no blaming. Can you say that with me? No blaming. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's the ref's fault. My son, I said it earlier, he learned early on that when you come home, if you lost the ball game, take responsibility for losing the ball game. Don't blame it on the ref at the Clark house. Now, maybe you like to do that. You like to blame it on the ref. And about, "Ref made a bad call." And that's all right. Holler at him. That's fine. Little bit, don't lose your testimony, okay? But listen. I've always thought we ought to have more runs and enough runs so that if the ref makes a stupid call, we still win. Amen. Not gonna blame it on the ref, and in most cases, the calls go both ways. Okay, it's just blaming somebody. Now listen. You might say, "Well, so-and-so can give, and they can do this, but I can't do this." Or you think, "Well, they should give more. They need to do more." Listen, it's all about what you can do before the Lord. Don't worry about what somebody else does. Just get on base, would you? Amen? Just get on base. If we're in a ball game, brother, and we might be down 4 or 5 runs. And you know what? Sure, it'd be nice of you to hit a home run. But tell you what, if you just didn't get out and got on base, we're going to be happy. Amen? We're going to be happy because we got a runner in scoring position. Negativity destroys spirit. I've trying to turn over a new leaf in my life, and as I just don't like hanging out with negative people. Negative, I hate that. Okay? It destroys spirit. Outlook. Okay? Here's what Coach Covington said, and I've got me 2 kids coming up. Come on, guys. Come on up on the stage. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Got 2 ball players coming up. Here we go. You go over there. Who's the pitcher? Get on over there. Come on, we ain't got all day. These people got to go eat. Come on. Here we go. Where are you at? Are you close enough or do you need to get back further? You sure? Come on. Get down. Are you back far enough? Go on. Back up. Okay, I'm going to just get you warmed up. Go ahead, warm up. Okay, go ahead, baby. Go ahead. You know what my coach told me? Coach Covington, big old black coach, told me. Here we go. Stop now. Here we go. We're ready. Go get the ball back to the pitcher, son. Okay. Coach Covington told me, he said, "Clark, say it with me. Don't be a wallflower. Here's what I would do. Big old guy like I am, in about the 8th grade, still big, and I'd stand up there, and the pitcher would throw the ball. Go ahead. Here. What was it? Strike! And he would go, "Clark, don't be a wallflower. You just stand up there looking pretty. Swing the bat." And I'd stand there. Here we go. "What?" And I just kept standing up there. And then, boom, here we go. I was smiling. What was that? Oh, man. Dog. Amen. Hey, love you. Hey, God bless you guys. I love you, man. Hey, listen. Good job. Do what? On the bat. Here's the point. Here's the point. Swing the bat. Okay? You might not, you're not a millionaire or something. I understand that. Do what you can do. Swing the bat. That should be our attitude. You don't have to worry about, listen, you don't have to worry about balls and strikes. I started learning, and Coach Covington taught me, Clark, you're a big old rascal. If you start swinging a bat, you're going to hit the ball. And you know, before long, I started realizing the ref meant nothing. It meant nothing to me. I took him right out of the game. Because I walked up there, and it was really just up to me. If I swing that bat 3 times, he had nothing to do with calling me out. I'm the one that struck out, right? But if I stand there like a wallflower looking pretty, then I get this tendency to have a bad attitude, a bad outlook, and then I play this blame game. Folks, if we don't, God told me, we've got the money. Okay? We've got the money. Here's the bad news. You got it. Amen? Yeah, you got it. Praise God. Sorry about that. You know? And I've got it. We can make it happen. Attitude, outlook, and last thing is this. Purpose. And folks, this is not just for giving. These are wonderful principles to live your life by. Ephesians 1, 9 through 12. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's why you and I are here. We're here to be praise to His glory. That's why we exist. So, what's purpose all about? It's about being a team player. It's about being a team player. You're part of the team. You're part of the team. You're part of the team. Now, if you want to act like you ain't part of the team, it's not because I didn't tell you you weren't part of the team. Okay? Now, He's the master and He's the coach. I'm just a little old assistant flunky down here. Okay? But listen, you are needed. Can you say that with me? I'm needed. You're needed. If we want to accomplish this, you have to be part of the team. Say that with me. I matter. You do matter. You might say, I'm at this point in my life, I don't have any purpose, I don't have any meaning. What can I do? What kind of difference can I make in my world? Hello? Here you go. Amen? Be a part of Fellowship Church and realize that you're needed and that you matter. All right, so we've looked at no whining. We've looked at no blaming. And here we go. No excuses. No excuses. What am I talking about? The first one was, I don't get to play. The second one was, it's the ref's fault. Here's the third one. The coach doesn't like me. Listen, I'll tell you something. God loves you, gave Jesus for you. Okay? And I love you. I do. I mean, I have zero animosity against any of you. Matter of fact, I don't walk into this back door ever. So far, I haven't, thank God, where I felt like, ooh, I can't go to that part of the auditorium because I've got daggers over there in that department. You know, I don't feel that way at Fellowship at all. I feel like you're my friend and I'm your friend and we love each other and we care about each other. And if that ever changes, this place won't be worth a dime. We ought to keep that. That's what we want to strive for. The coach doesn't like me. You are loved, and we love you here. And we want you to be part of the team, okay? But there are certain people that do this. They go around in life going, feel sorry for me, would you? You've met people like that. You just walk up to them, and it's like a little rain cloud. Here we go. You know? Feel sorry for me. Here's what I call it, the poochie lip disease. That's it. Hit it. One excuse after the other why they can't do something. You know what I mean? Listen, you'll never get anything done if you surround yourself with those kind of people. Now, I'm not saying we certainly aren't all perfect. Sometimes we're down and we're defeated. But you know what? That's why we have a body of Christ, to try to encourage you, to get you up. But I think some people, they feel like their life purpose is to get other people down. Listen to me. You have purpose in life. You matter. God loves you. I love you. We love you. And we're not going to feel sorry for you. We want to give you answers and truth and be able to encourage you and help you know, come on. So what if it happened to you up north bad at another church? This is fellowship. Don't paint us with that brush. Okay? Man. We love the Lord here, and we love people. We're not ashamed. Here's the other thing. There's no I in team. When somebody makes excuses, all they're doing is saying, I am full of pride. That's what you're saying. Instead of making somebody feel sorry for pushing it, all you're doing is you're saying, look at me. God rejects pride. Proverbs 6, 6 things doth the Lord hate. Number one, proud look. Let's get it straight, he said. Number one, listen, no excuses. So what have we got today? Let's look at it. Get in the game. Here we go. Attitude. Cheerful, happy, no whining, outlook, positive, hopeful, no blaming, purpose, team player, no excuses. Do you know what I'm saying? If we stand on something that is huge, bigger than us, but we can do this, I believe, if we get in the game and we have this kind of attitude and outlook and purpose. Say that with me. Come on now. Tell somebody. Look at somebody and tell them. Just look right at somebody and say, plan to get a hit. Would you look at somebody and do that? Plan to get a hit. Come on, you didn't do it. Let's try it again. Do it one more time. Plan to get a hit. Plan to get a hit. Here we go. How about this one? Also, look at somebody right now and go, we need everyone to get on base. Come on. We need everyone to get on base. Okay? Now, here we go. Isn't church fun and being able to build something and move forward and see growth? And that's just exciting. Couldn't imagine spending my life doing anything else. Plan to get a hit. Plan to get a hit. Get in the game. Get in the game. Okay? Get in the game. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for allowing us to spend this time together as we've been on this quest for 2 years. And Father, I know visitors were here with us today, but Father, I hope our visitors and friends that came out today are going to leave encouraged, because there's a group of people in Englewood, Florida that are believing, and they're on a mission and they're on a quest to do something mighty for you. So I pray they'll be encouraged, even though they might just be with us for this one day. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Father, I pray for some that perhaps are with us today that are not Christians. They really aren't into the game. I mean, they've never trusted you. They're outside of the team, the family of God. Father, help them to know that you love them, that you died for them, that you rose for them. And there's nothing they can do to earn that. Just simply by humbling themselves and believing in you, totally trusting you. No phony baloney game playing, but sincerely trusting in you and your shed blood on that cross. Trusting in that alone, not their good looks, their good works, or anything else. Just you, Jesus. Help them to turn to you and trust you today, we pray. Father, all of us, help us with our attitude, our outlook, and know, help us know, Father, we have a purpose. Please, Lord, help us. We need your help. We desperately need your help. In Jesus' name.